The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Hey, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arcan. Andy Hart here as well. We got Tommy Curran on the show today at 3:30. We got your phone calls at 617-779-7937. And we got a lot to get to in terms of topics. We got the Celtics, we got the Red Sox, Bruins are playing tonight, which we'll get to for sure. A big Celtics game, second loss of the year, first home loss now for your Boston Celtics. But before we get into any of that, there's some urgent news that I feel like it's not necessarily urgent to the people listening on your traditional radios here on WEEI in the New England area, but we have a lot of people who stream the show from all over the world, really, but certainly all over the country. And I know we've gotten calls from South Carolina before. Every once in a while, we get a call from South Carolina person. I remember when Drake May got drafted, we were getting lots of calls from the Carolinas.
That's where he's from, right?
He's from North Carolina, but we were getting lots of the Carolinas. They're sort of a big thing. Anyways, there's some news out of South Carolina that, just for anyone who may be listening, who lives down there, we wanted to let you know about. A police search is underway after 43 monkeys escaped from a bio-research facility in South Carolina last night. Police in Yamasee, Beaufort County, said that the monkeys, known as rhesus monkeys, escaped from Alpha Genesis, a business that provides non-human primate products.
What?
Non-human primate products and bio-research services. The monkeys were a group of very young females that have never been used for testing, they say. An Alpha Genesis spokesman confirmed to police that the animals are too young to carry disease. Alpha Genesis currently have eyes on the primates and are working to entice them with food. Traps have been set up. Officers are using thermal imaging cameras to recapture them. Residents are advised to keep doors and windows secured. Don't let them enter your home. And if you find a monkey, don't interact with it, but instead, call 911.
So these are not cute, safe, friendly, fun monkeys.
Doesn't sound like it. However, they're very quick. Well, they don't have any diseases, right? I mean, no, they're totally disease-free, these monkeys that we have in a bio-research facility. No problems there, but don't let them in your house. Don't interact with them. Don't make eye contact with them. Don't touch them. Don't do anything, but they're totally safe. Yeah,
right.
Okay, just, lock your windows, put everything, put the kids up in the attic, do everything you gotta do, make sure everything's safe, no one gets near them, but yeah, they're fine. They're just, just a bunch of monkeys running around. 43 monkeys on the loose.
That's a lot of monkeys.
How do you lose track of 43 monkeys?
Well, maybe this was a calculated, planned escape. Maybe
like
they're
the Planet of the Apes situation. Yeah.
Maybe they all got together, because they say monkeys are pretty smart. So maybe they all got together, planned the escape. I don't know. Andy Dufresne style went through a pipe in the sewage system. I have no idea, but
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
That would be my concern. So if they're telling the truth and they're not actually carrying disease or anything, they also could be tortured and could be at the point where they're ready to fight back.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at with it. Yeah,
right?
Planet of the Apes style.
Yeah.
They've had enough. These women, these women monkeys were like, oh, no.
Yeah.
We know what's going on here.
Ain't gonna be no more. You know what?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Damn right.
I wonder how they did it.
I'd like to see a monkey just like walking down the street.
Wouldn't you?
You want to see a monkey while you're walking down the street or the monkey's walking down the street?
Both.
Okay. Like just do like a double take. Like, is that a monkey over there in that tree? Or
did either of you see Chimp Crazy on HBO?
I've never even heard of that.
No,
oh,
I have not.
Oh, my Lord. It went super viral. It's
sure
on HBO. No, it did. And it's about people, women in particular, who keep chimps. I'm sure you guys remember the famous case in Connecticut.
Yeah. The girl got her face ripped off.
Crazy.
Yes, of course. Right.
Yes. And so this is still
people,
a large
people keep doing
problem.
That after that thing
yes.
happened. Huh?
Yeah, but I don't want a chimp. That's big, dangerous. Like, I'm thinking like little cute monkey that
little
sits on my shoulder.
Monkeys,
right.
Yeah.
That is relatively, I would say, safe. I'm not sure. They probably can bite and do some damage, but I think the worst thing that they do is throw poo, right? Don't they?
Yeah.
I think all monkeys throw poo, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In India or in like other places in the world like that, they'll like steal from you and then barter with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like they'll take your cell phone and then won't give it back unless you give them like fruit,
right.
You know? They're smart little critters.
Adult males average about 21 inches on average. They're not huge monkeys.
Oh, you mean the monkey.
The monkey in general. The whole body is about 21 inches there.
So that's like...
And they weigh about 17 pounds. Females are smaller. They're about 19 inches. They weigh 12 pounds.
That's sit on
and
your
these
shoulder.
And these are all young women. So there's a bunch of 19-inch, 12-pound female monkeys running around South Carolina.
So, famous question that's made the rounds in this city before, though. If you think the 43 monkeys attacked you, could you take them?
43 monkeys? Definitely not. Definitely not.
Oh, so you can beat me, but not 43 little monkeys.
No, I could take one or two of them, but 43, the monkeys are super strong. Monkeys are very strong. Even little 21-inch ones. 43
wiry.
Of them coming at me, they'd start ripping at my face. It would be a whole thing. No. I'd lose to 43.
Well, you could chuck them.
I could chuck up some of them, but while I'm chucking one, the other one's ripping my face off, you know? Like, that's how they do, isn't it? I don't know. I've never fought a monkey, but I think that in general,
I feel like that goes without saying.
Even with the small stature of them, 43, that's a lot of monkeys.
That does feel like
they
a lot.
All start climbing up on you. You can't throw 43 monkeys off you.
But what if you just take out one to send a message? Maybe that scares the rest off.
That's like your only
the skull
option
of one in your hand.
That's the only thing you
and
can
they
do.
See eyeballs pop out. They might be like, "Whoa, this dude is bad."
Right.
Get moving.
Prison style.
Yeah.
You know? Like you'd find the
you'd
biggest
pick
one.
Pick the biggest monkey, take him out.
Yep.
I think that's what I would do.
Yeah, I guess so.
Although I also think I would not be thinking in a sane state of mind if 43 monkeys attacked me.
Yeah, no, I definitely would.
It's not something you generally run through in your head like, what would I do if 43 monkeys attacked me?
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. It would
probably
be,
die.
It would just, you know, survival instincts at that point.
Because you're not going to outrun
fight or flight. Yeah, that's all you're doing.
But you're not going to flight. They're quicker than you. They can swing. They can jump. They can climb. There's no place you're avoiding the monkeys.
I could hit them with my thumb. They don't have thumbs. I know they do. They have opposable
they do
thumbs.
Have thumbs.
They have like better thumbs than we do.
Yeah.
What do they not have?
Size.
Yeah. They can't talk. I could tell somebody, hey, come help me. I guess, right? I mean, I don't know what else.
You think somebody's going to come help you take on? So now it's 2 versus 43?
2 versus 43. I don't know. Someone comes over with a gun or something. That might help.
Oh, if you shoot them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's okay.
I don't have a gun, so I'd be SOL if I got.
Yeah,
if
the
I
weenie got, needs a gun now. He's not happy. Wow, how perceptions are changing
when
these
the
days.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes happened. Yes, maybe I'll change
maybe
my stance.
Maybe weenie boy
on that
needs
one.
A gun.
I have a BB gun.
I don't think that's going to do it.
No, but it did scare off that coyote in my yard once.
You shot a coyote?
A BB gun?
I shot at the fence just to get the coyote.
Oh, it just
to leave.
Made a noise.
Yeah.
You also could have probably just gotten fire and light.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that with a coyote. I don't know what the coyote's going to do. I think I could probably take a coyote unless it had rabies, though.
Yeah, they usually tell you that they don't mess with people. It's like small dogs
right.
and pets that you
I had a big argument with an old coworker over whether I could take an otter in a fight. I think I would work an otter over.
Otter?
An otter. They're like, oh, otters are so dangerous. It's like an otter?
Otters are dangerous?
I'd smoke an otter. Like, come on.
I feel like I would choke it out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Unless
I'm like swimming and the water's over my head or something, then yeah, maybe I have a problem there. But like.
Aren't otters only like.
They're not very big. Yeah. Just an otter. Just take smashing on a rock.
How do
or
they
something.
Fight? They're apex predators.
Otters are?
Yeah. Sea otters are apex predators of the marine nearshore environment.
Okay, but they can't be apex predators because a shark will come eat one, right?
Aren't we apex predators?
Yeah.
I'm at the top of this food chain, baby. He's reading in there. He's got
I'm looking up the otter. Now I'm curious. Could Arcan beat up an otter?
I know I could beat up an otter. I know I could. I don't know if I could beat up like 5 otters, but I could definitely take one otter.
Hey, for Zoko, I feel like there's a poll necessary.
I don't know. I don't think people underestimate me and my fighting skills. So I don't know.
I think you're underestimating the otter.
I probably am, but I still think I'd beat the otter.
Okay.
All that to say.
Could the Celtics beat an otter?
If you're living in South Carolina and you're near this biolab facility, lock your windows, lock your doors. And only fight 2 monkeys at a time. Don't fight any more than
that. Hey, the Twitch chat is saying you can't even beat a cold.
Oh! Good one.
That's pretty good.
That's true. Listen, if I have a cold, I'm not beating any of those things. So there you go. Anyways, the Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics last night with a tough loss to the Golden State Warriors. A game that we all thought was going to be the Jason Tatum revenge game. It ends up instead being the Steve Kerr, in your face. This is why I didn't play you in the Olympics game. Even though Tatum had a very good game, very good third quarter anyway. I don't know if the rest of the game was quite as good as that. I didn't really agree with some of Joe Mazzulla's substitution patterns. I thought keeping him out early in the fourth quarter when he was playing his best was a big mistake. What else went wrong, do you think, Andy?
Well, I thought just to start that, well, not to start. So they got off to a decent start, but then it became evident that the Warriors were the grittier, scrappier, high motor, high effort, try hard team in this battle, which I think is a little different view for us to see the Warriors who were once, you know, the wins record leader and all that and sort of the Splash Brothers. Now it's kind of Steph Curry and his band of scrappy bandits.
Yeah.
That's what they feel like.
Yeah.
And they were better than you. My takeaway was they played the game on your terms, which is what I thought I was seeing. And then I thought that was expressed in the broadcast when they had one of those sideline reporter listens into the huddle kind of thing. And they're like, Joe Mazzulla just told his team, like, we might not be able to play our game tonight. We're going to have to find a different way to win this game. And I think that's interesting. I don't think there's many teams in the last couple of years that have taken the Celtics out of their game. You can miss threes. Mm-hmm. You cannot play well, things of that nature, but flat out took the game to the Celtics. I thought they took the game to the Celtics. Now, all that being said, they could have won the game.
They could have, yes.
Absolutely could have won. It's not like
they were in position, too. They were up in the third, and they were up in the 100%. Fourth. 100%. And they blew it, yeah.
And, you know, some of it, this was another classic Tatum game. This was not the classic Tatum prove-a-point game, but a classic Tatum game where you get to 30-something points, but it feels like it's never a simple 9, 18, mm-hmm. 27, 36, right? Like, it's always weighted heavily towards one quarter somewhere where he gets hot. And they needed it. They utilized it. That was great. Had a great third quarter. Got hot from three, the whole thing. But I didn't think they played very well. I thought the defense, which Scal was all about yesterday, mm-hmm. the defense of the Warriors made life very difficult on them. Even those, there was one of those threes they hit where it was making the rounds on social media where like went around the court like twice and
yeah.
and Drew Holiday was catching passes in the corner and flinging them as he jumps out of bounds. Like everything was a struggle. Nothing seemed to come easy. Now, I love Kata. He has really grown on me. But they seem to have fallen in love with the lobs to him.
Yeah.
Like, put that away. And then he started asking for the ball. That's also not acceptable. You'll get the ball when they decide you get the ball. I don't need Kata down on the block asking for the ball like he's freaking Patrick Ewing in the late 80s, early 90s or something. But overall, my main takeaway was you didn't get the revenge you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the star of the night, earmuffs, Boston fans, was Steve Kerr and Steph Curry.
Steve Kerr. It was Steve Kerr number one, I'd say.
I would, too. If this was hockey, number one star is Steve Kerr. And you know what that? That hurts. That leaves a mark. That was his, like, revenge redemption day after election night. Like, he got a little pound of flesh on you to make himself feel better.
What was a worse loss for me? It's a tough question. Seeing Steve Kerr win or seeing Trump win? Basically, this is going to sound weird to say this, Steve Kerr is like my Trump right now. Like, that's basically what happened. He's basically tried. I know he probably hates hearing that, but that's the case. You got out-coached and you got outworked and you fell back on bad habits, and Tatum had a great third quarter, sure. Even in that third quarter, though, we got a T for bitching at the refs. Bad habits.
I thought that was a quick T.
It was a quick tee. I agree.
What was that about?
He just went bah like that.
Yeah,
like,
he make one arm gesture.
Earlier, like a few plays before then, Draymond Green goes up, thinks he got fouled, screams, and one flexes at the ref. And it's like, this is a tee, and that's not like, come on.
I don't often like to play the homer on the radio, but that span you're talking about, I didn't understand how Draymond, he did that, and then he chased another guy up the court screaming at him the whole time.
Yeah.
In a short span, he gets nothing. He is Mr. Technical. And Tatum, who I also know is sort of Mr. Technical and does dumb stuff, he made one like, blah, and that's a tee?
Yeah.
And it didn't cost him the game or anything like that.
No, I wouldn't say that. No.
But it was just, you're right, sort of trending toward the frustration of them not playing their game and the bad Celtic aspects of recent years.
Yeah, it was a frustrating thing. Also, the illegal screen in the challenge, that one I could eat. That was like the turning point in the game, I thought. That was the game kind of turned right there on that play. They went on an 11-2 run, and that was during that run. So I'd say, like, that was about as obvious of an illegal screen as you could ever see. And you asked us in our email today, Andy, like, do they ever reverse these calls?
I feel like do they ever
go back and, like, find the other thing and say, oh, yeah, that was clearly a foul? Even Doris was like, look at his leg.
Right.
Like, he's clearly moving. That's clearly an illegal screen. I don't think it cost him the game. That sequence, though, right after that. So Holiday makes a layup down on the other end. The Warriors take it back over. I forget who set the pick for Curry, but Tatum comes over. Pritchard's guarding him. Neither one of them stay with Curry. He stands there. He looks at him like, really? And then he just bangs a three right in their face.
Yep.
That was infuriating. It was a big moment in the game, but it was a one-possession game with 5 minutes left. They had plenty of time to recover from it. And even without Brown in the game, Andy, I thought this was a one-sided talent gap. You're right. It's Curry and a bunch of guys like Kuminga and Wiggins and good players, you know, good young players. It's not like they suck.
Yeah, fine.
Gary Payton's kid, you know, like, whoever.
Mr. Pie, Buddy Hield.
Right, who was pretty good.
Oh, he was.
He had a bunch of threes right in your feet. He hit the three that basically ended it. That one with like 47 seconds left to make it a 7-point game. That was it. But even then, I mean, they have some fun young guys. The Celtics are clearly the better roster, and they got outworked. It's as simple as that. They played better defense. They executed better. They made their shots down the stretch better than you did, and that's the long and short of it. There's not really much else to say. You're not going to see a lot of games like this with the Celtics, I don't think. You're not going to see them get outworked like that a lot this year, but that's what happened last night.
And Steph Curry showed he's still Steph Curry, and when he needs to do what he needs to do, he does it. And that has to be slightly, I know Tatum will tell you he doesn't give an F, but on full display, fourth quarter, who you taking, Tatum or Curry? The answer is still Curry. At 117,
mm-hmm.
right? And that has to be frustrating on some level. If he gets frustrated, now he can pretend he doesn't get frustrated. you know, no matter what, there's another game coming tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Like right. that whole mentality, which I don't know about you, I don't love. And I actually don't mind if you have it, articulating it sort of as often as he tends to. I feel like he pulls this out a couple times a year. The I don't give an F or no matter what, there's another game the next day mm-hmm. mentality. I don't know. Isn't it like about today and like doing everything to win today's game?
Yeah.
Not that dismissive nature. And again, that's probably healthier. His therapist, his sports psychologist, even Keeled and all these various things. But from an outside fan perspective, I find that kind of frustrating. And we've, you know, that trickles down through a team.
It does.
And I think Curry's a competitor. He's more of a competitor than Jason Tatum. Like, can we agree on that?
Yes, I'd
say
so.
He's got more fire in his belly or whatever. We talked about it yesterday.
He's not like a in-your-face kind of guy. He's not going to start a fight with anybody. But yeah, he's more of a competitor.
But he's fiery.
And he has the killer instinct.
Absolutely has the killer instinct.
Which Jason Tatum, it's hard to get there with that. And I'm not talking about is he a good player or not. Obviously, he's a great player. He's a great scorer. He had a great game last night.
Right.
But down the stretch, at the end of that game, who'd you feel more confident was going to be able to hit their shots and break the other team's back? Jason Tatum or Steph Curry?
Steph Curry.
It's not even close. I mean, really, it's not even close.
And they're both Hall of Famers. They're both all-time greats. Tatum at some point will be an MVP. Like he's going to
Curry might have an award named after him when all is said and done, right? So,
but the reality is that the Celtics are now the three-point shooting team,
right?
And the Warriors are kind of Curry, a little bit of Heald, and then they're not really a three-point shooting team. Mm. They've sort of changed their mentality, and I actually heard the guys coming in because I don't like Kerr, but I think Kerr is in the evolution of his coaching career as, you know, if this team's as good as it is to start the year, Steve Kerr gets some credit.
Yep.
Like, you're not just riding all these Hall of Famers anymore in a certain style of basketball. They're transitioning into a different style of basketball with a different style roster. And they're 7-1 to start the year.
Yeah, and listen, the coaching made a difference.
Absolutely.
The double teams, the trapping in the first half, they blitz Jason Tatum, make him pass
the
ball.
And he freaked out a few times.
He was not ready for that. They turned the ball over 10 times in the first half.
Turnovers, but also even some that weren't turnovers, he just didn't look composed and prepared. There were a couple times where he was diving into the backcourt and just got rid of the ball in time. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like he was ready to deal with that situation, and therefore it was sort of like a monkey with his head cut off.
No, a little bit. I think that he wanted to be to go iso ball. He wanted to like have it go, and you saw that in the third quarter when Kata was coming out, and they were just doing the screens at the top of the key, and he'd go in, and you know that was when I thought he was the most effective. But really, it was there was more of a early on in the game. It seemed like that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to sort of establish, all right, it's going to be my game. Here we go. I'm going to take.
They called his bluff, like they challenged it, and I think they knew he was going to try to take the game early. And I think because of that, they intentionally said, well, we're not going to let you.
Yeah.
And
someone predicted this, by the way, yesterday.
Who?
This guy.
You predicted the Celtics would lose?
No, not that they would lose, but that Kerr was going to run double teams and blitzes and all that stuff at Jason Tatum.
And
I said, that's probably what he's going to do. He's going to try and take him right out of that.
Shouldn't Joe Mazzulla have predicted it?
Yes.
Shouldn't the Celtics have predicted it?
Absolutely.
Shouldn't their preparation have predicted it? And that's where...
They did adjust in the second half. It's not like they didn't. They made
they
adjustments.
Did, and they could have won the game.
Yep.
Like, there's no question about that. This was a winnable basketball game, but I am a little surprised that this far into the season, we're already talking about two losses. We're already talking about a loss at home. You know, I thought this was a game that they would circle. And this idea that they don't need Jaylen Brown, I love that Doris Burke kind of called that out on the broadcast and was like, you know who Jason Tatum looks like he could use right now? Jaylen Brown.
Definitely.
His running mate, his guy. And I do grow a little bit more concerned by the day with the Jaylen Brown situation. Not that it's going to affect whether they're the number one seed in the East, or they win a lot of basketball games, or anything like that.
They're not the number one seed in the East right now.
They will be.
No, they're not right now.
But
they're two games back.
You think they will be?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
But they're two games back right now.
I feel good about their
Cleveland's
chances.
Going 82-0.
I don't think that's going to happen.
The last undefeated team in the league, Oklahoma City, lost last night. They're the last ones. Cleveland's the best team in the league right now.
Power rankings change right now?
I think they should, yeah.
I actually think they should, too.
I think they should. The Celtics have two losses now. They shouldn't be number one
anymore.
And
this was a measuring stick loss.
Yeah.
This is a game
it's a gut check game.
Yeah. You're at home. You're against Kerr and all the extra motivations and all of that. Even if you don't have any of that, aren't the Warriors, like, say they're a good team in the West that's going to be a top three team in the West all year long. Don't you want to win on your home court? And like you say, you split with them, you lose out there, you win on home. That kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you lost on your home court. And remember they beat them last year by like, I don't know, 40 or something?
Yeah, they killed them last year.
Absolutely smoked them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is This, to me, is a more disappointing loss than the Indiana loss. Like, that came earlier than I expected, but it's like, okay, you're going to have one of those. On the road, tough matchup, gritty team, blah, blah, blah. This one is less excusable for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. By the way, there is a poll up on WEEI Afternoons on Twitter.
And?
Could I beat up an otter? I had better, according to the people on Twitter, I had a better chance of beating you up than the otter. I am 86-13. No, I couldn't beat up an otter. You guys are nuts.
What does an otter do to, like, be so badass?
Nothing. They're trying to get under my skin saying, you couldn't even beat up an otter. That's what it's all
about.
What
does an otter weigh?
Not much, I don't think. I'm sure an otter could, like, it wouldn't be fun to fight an otter, but I'd definitely win the fight.
Well, I don't want to fight any animal with teeth.
Right, yeah. They're going to bite you. I could win the fight. I don't want to get bit.
I'm going to lose blood. I'm going to have some marks on me. But
yeah, I'm going to have some disease from the bio lab or whatever when I fight all those monkeys, and it's who wants it, who needs it?
Yeah, and I feel like...
But I'd still win. Like,
yeah,
come
I feel
on.
Like in the end, one-on-one, I can choke it out, break its neck. Like you said, remember the Hulk in one of... Oh, you don't watch those movies. Remember when Hulk takes Thor and... bashes him up and down and says,
I've seen that
God.
GIF. I didn't know that okay. was Thor doing that. Yeah, yeah. He was doing it to Thor.
I feel like you could do that to an otter. If you got him wrapped around the right. legs or the tail, you would just bash him into a rock up and down until he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
That'd be
like my initial strategy. I don't know if I'd have to adapt.
Oh, once
it
started hurting.
Yeah.
I do wonder what would happen if he really sunk his teeth into you, mm-hmm. started ripping skin off, peeling you away.
I'd bite him back.
I don't think that's the best.
It's probably not like the most sanitary way of fighting an otter.
He's got
but
fur, and there's like it'd be tougher to bite.
I know, but he'd respect that I was willing to go that far.
Now
the otter would be
respect?
Like, well, no, the otter would be like, okay, this guy's really
this guy,
fighting.
We got a biter.
Yeah, we got a biter.
I didn't know he was going to bite. I thought he was one of those humans that use his hands.
Exactly. Right. He sees that. He's like, okay, I'm backing off. I don't want to smoke with this guy. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls. The Nemeas Kata situation. He's in there. He's playing for Kristaps Porzingis, getting a lot of Cornette's minutes and really using him. I thought very well on the offensive side. Maybe not so much on the defensive side. We will discuss that right after Stiz tells you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you updated with what's trending this hour on WEEI and WEEI.com. So much for the Jason Tatum revenge game as the Celtics suffer a home loss to the Warriors, losing 118-112. Jason Tatum had 32 points. Derek White had 26. Steph Curry finished the night with 27. Derek White spoke after the game on the loss.
I mean, every game's a different test, and you learn something new from every game. And obviously, they're a really good team, and they're playing well right now. So it's all those little things that we talked about in training camp that came back and got us at the end there.
Celtics will stick in the city. They will host the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night at the Garden, tip-off at 7:30. The Bruins, they will host the Flames tonight. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from Causeway Street. Boston looking to recover from a 4-0 shutout loss to the Maple Leafs. Korpisalo expected to get the start in net for your Boston Bruins. There were 3 DNPs during yesterday's Patriots practice. Those names included Kyle Duggar, Christian Ellis, and John Michael Hasty. 7 other players were limited. Patriots will take on the Bears on Sunday afternoon, kickoff at 1 p.m. from Soldier Field. And Thursday night football tonight, as the 4-5 Bengals will be in Baltimore to take on the 6-3 Ravens, kickoff at 8:15. You can catch that game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage will begin at 7:30. Or you can download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. Trending brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. Go to FindMassMoney.gov and see if you have unclaimed property. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to FindMassMoney.gov today. It takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show with Arcan and Hart coming up.
This is Afternoons with Arcan and Hart on WEEI. On WEEI.
Nemeas Kata making an impact last night. I thought he had some real nice plays, certainly on the offensive glass. He had a ton of offensive rebounds, a couple of putbacks, some lobs. My favorite play, though, that he had in the whole game was when Curry got loose on the right side there coming down the wing. And it looked like he had an easy layup, and Kata comes flying up from the other side and blocks him at the rim. That was a great block.
Do you know he was the only starter with plus minus?
No, I didn't know that. I would not have thought that.
Plus 13. Every other starter not named Tatum was minus 11.
Wow. Interesting. Even White, huh?
White was, minus 11. Tatum was minus 5, and Kata was plus 13.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So he's the best player on the Boston Celtics.
Definitely the best player on the team. I think that's obvious. But whether you think that, no one thinks he's the best player on the team, but whether or not you think he can be a rotation player, I think he proved that he can. I think that he proved that he's certainly able to do that. He doesn't shoot from the outside now, which is, and neither does Cornette really, but this is something that I think is so vital to the team and their makeup and how they run their offense. But he was able to add that Time Lord Robert Williams dimension to the offense that you haven't seen since he left. I mean, really, you haven't seen it in a couple years. He didn't see it last year much with Porzingis. Porzingis didn't play that much, and when he did, it seemed like he was more of a, on the outside, but he did post up sometimes. You had a real lob threat there, and they didn't really respect it until Looney came into the game at the end, and even he couldn't do much about it. Cato was very active. He was getting a lot of rebounds. He was getting his own rebound a lot. That happened a few times, which I think boosted his numbers still. But, hey, you got to be active even to get your own rebound. Then get to the free throw line. He hit most of his free throws. Like, I was pretty happy with his whole game, I'd say.
I kind of want him to be designated dunker guy. I don't really need to see him doing anything other
than dunking. Baby hooks and stuff. Yeah, the rest of it wasn't so great.
If you can't dunk it, take one step and then dunk it. Should be his game. I think they will evolve. I thought they got a little lob happy a couple times, where I don't think that needs to necessarily be the best option.
Right.
But I do think he's a guy that is going from fill-in minutes to, maybe there's a role for this guy even long-term when guys are healthy, rotational-type minutes. And the other issue is just developing him in case Porzingis. I think we all have trepidation towards Porzingis
being
healthy.
Absolutely. I mean, how couldn't you?
And there was some talk on the broadcast. I'm not to pretend that, I've been watching his evolution every step of the way for the last couple of years, that he's starting to realize that he can be better than he is, and that he can be a pretty good player. And I mean, a poor man's Rob Williams is probably where it's at, but also could be a healthy man's Rob Williams.
Sure.
So maybe that balances out the value of this guy. And maybe long-term, also an option, depending on how things play out with Horford or Porzingis or other guys down the road.
Biggest question mark in the next couple of years is what are you going to do at the big position? And if they have a guy who doesn't cost a lot of money, who's right there in the roster already, that's a pretty nice thing to have. The only thing that I didn't love was on the defensive side down the stretch. I felt like Kevon Looney was killing him on the offensive glass. At the end of the game, he had those two putbacks. Draymond had a putback, or he got the rebound and got fouled or whatever it was. And I feel like Cato was down there for at least two of those. One of them, and this happened all throughout the game, pretty much every time he was in there, Curry tried to hunt him out. And I thought he held his own okay. You know, for a big guy trying to guard Curry, I thought he did okay. I didn't think it was I'd rather him out there than Horford or Cornette trying to guard him. I thought he was better than both of them. And that's usually who Curry goes for. Curry loves messing with the big guys.
Correct.
And either shooting over them or getting them to turn their hips and then going around them and laying it in, which he did a few times. He did it to Katie. He did it to everybody. But I thought it would be a lot worse. Let me put it that way. I thought Curry was going to make him trip over himself or something, and he didn't. So.
And the more I watch him, the more I'm intrigued as to what he can be with reps and developmental time. Like, I don't think, and I mean, I'm pretty sure Cornette is who he is at this point in his career. Certainly Al Horford is who he is, which is a good player, but an aging player with limitations to his game. I feel like Cato has maybe some upside that, and I don't know where that'll go. Maybe he has already tapped into it, and maybe there's downside when people start to say, oh, you're going to play him some minutes? We'll take advantage of that kind of thing. So there's the back and forth there.
Yeah, I think they got something there. I thought he played well. Not enough to win the game, obviously. And there were some times down the stretch with Looney on the defensive end where it seemed like he was just getting overwhelmed. But in general, I thought he had a positive impact on the game. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Billy's in Taunton. He has some thoughts on the Celtics last night. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, yeah, by the way, you could also grab the otter by the neck. Other than that, I was going to say the Celtics always have the same trouble. It's a half-court game, slowing down, like really grindy.
All right, your phone's breaking up, but it does sound like he's trying to talk about the half-court game. And that, in the first half in particular, I thought was very stagnant half-court game. And I don't know if that was because Tatum wanted to take over or he wanted to establish the offense going through him or what exactly it was. He ended up having to make a lot of extra passes. But as soon as they got off to that lead, right, they were up 14-3, and then I feel like Golden State just started really doing whatever they wanted to. And the Celtics offense, that's when the turnovers started. I thought that was, it was not great.
And Drew Holiday did not play well. I thought he looked a little sluggish, slow, lethargic. I don't even know what it was. And then you look at his numbers, 0-for-6 from 3. He only scored 6 points. I did not think it was one of his better better performances. So now you're down Jaylen Brown. You have a bad game by Drew Holiday. Yeah, they're deep. Yeah, they have five of the top 50 player, blah, blah, blah. But you weren't exactly at full strength when guys are playing like that.
No, I'd agree with that. 617-779-7937. Kelly's in Amherst. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, what's up? I love your guys' new show. Thanks, Kelly. The talk about the Celtics. I love the Celtics talk. So real quick on Kata, currently my Facebook picture is actually Jaylen Brown, and I am thinking about putting it, switching it to Kata. Wow. He is real, real hot. I liked the way they were playing with him the last couple games. Obviously, he came on strong in Indiana. I agree with what you said a moment ago about they were kind of forcing the lob. I think they can find down the road ways to kind of incorporate that, especially in transition. But I won't call him the poor man's Rob Williams. Obviously, overall, he's no Rob Williams right now. But he's got an agility and a quick nimbleness to his game that Rob did not have. I love Kata.
Thanks for the call, Kelly. I thought Rob did have that. I thought he was pretty nimble. I thought that was a part of it. On defense especially, because you remember in that Ime year, they let him sort of roam around. Like, he didn't really check anybody. He was just down there in the paint, and they let him roam around. He blocked a ton of shots, and I thought was pretty nimble about it. You know what I mean? Like, I thought he had good footwork. I thought that was all good. Kata has a lot of those qualities. I mean, he does. He has a lot of the qualities.
I thought Rob Williams had some of that Dennis Rodman quick twitch, could go down and back up before a lot of people could kind of recoil and do it again. You know, the other thing about Kata, this is a minor thing, but he's from Portugal.
Right.
Obviously, in Massachusetts, we have a very strong Portuguese population, especially down my way.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if he could become a sort of popular player in that way.
Yeah, probably.
The Portuguese fans.
Why not? I also liked that he wore number 88 because it reminded me of Antoine Walker when he came back to the Celtics. Remember, he was on like the Hawks for a year, and then they either traded for him or he came back. Someone else was already 8, and I forget who it even was. But then, yeah, he had to wear 88 for like a couple weeks. Or I don't know if it was even a whole season, but he had the 88 jersey. You don't remember the Antoine Walker 88 jersey?
I don't.
Yeah, back in the 90s, that's what we did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, he did.
Because the 88 definitely sticks out.
It definitely does, yes.
And I was actually looking to see if there was like a reason for it. I didn't see anything.
Al Jefferson was on the team.
Oh.
Al Jefferson was number 8. Antoine came back. He's 88. Jefferson switched to 7. That's what happened.
Oh, look at you.
I just looked it up.
Oh, I was going to say that. And then a year later,
to
your mind very clearly.
Jefferson and all those guys got traded for Kevin Garnett, and the rest is history. Perk was on that team, by the way. Our good friend, not necessarily friend of the show, since we obviously have Scals back, but Kendrick Perkins back on those old Celtics teams before they bottomed out, and then traded for Garnett and Ray Allen. Anyways, the Celtics, I think, have something there with Kata. Would have loved to have had a win last night just to sort of tie this off, because we are going to talk a little Red Sox. There's a lot of Red Sox news here to discuss. But just to sort of tie this off here with the Celtics, it's not the end of the world. They're 7-2. They're still one of the top five teams in the NBA. I'd still say they're, you know, top three, really. But we had expectations that involved them winning these type of games and getting off to a hot start. Right now, they have a winning percentage that would, over the course of 82 games, they'd be a 64-win team. And that's exactly what they were last year. And that's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, really, 64 wins and winning a championship, so long as they do that, obviously, is all that matters. And no one really cares when all is said and done. But we had expectations. We had expectations that maybe are beyond where they're headed right now. That's all. I mean, it's fair to say that. And it doesn't matter one way or another if they win the championship. But just something to keep an eye on. 617-779-7937. The Red Sox, according to John Heyman, interested in Juan Soto.
Told you. Let's go. Let's go.
Oh, that's adorable, Heyman. We'll get to that next.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
I love that quote. I love that whole thing. I love the part about, well, Red Sox fans are getting mad at me for reporting this. Oh, that's so good. I'm glad. Red Sox fans, good. I'm glad you're getting mad. I'm glad you, it's not that it's John Heyman's fault. Don't be an a-hole to John Heyman. But I'm glad that you're getting mad at this same cycle of bullcrap. This right now, the month of November, right? November through, I don't know, let's say January. This is when the Red Sox shine, isn't it? This is when they're in the news. This is when everyone's talking about them. This is when their name gets brought up all over the place. This is the Red Sox pride. Like, this is what they live for every year. The owners, the front office, this is it. because this is all the action and activity you're actually really going to see. And that's the God's honest truth. Red Sox fans know that, and that's why they're yelling at John Heyman. Hey, say, stop doing their dirty work. Stop telling everybody that the Red Sox are interested. They're not. They're not going to get Juan Soto. I don't think there's any chance that they have a legitimate shot at Juan Soto. I'll be shocked if that actually happens. Also, the other teams that are in the mix for Soto, Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, come on. The Rays, that's funny. I'm sure that's where Soto wants to go down there in Tampa Bay in the Dome Stadium with no roof. But, like, the Red Sox, really? Red Sox are going for Soto? Here's how I know that there's no way that's going to happen. Number one, they're talking like $600 million.
Yeah.
You think they're going to spend $600 million on anyone, well, let alone Juan Soto?
Alex Speer said they're going to spend $100.
You get one
it's only
sixth,
a half a billion shy.
One-sixth of Juan Soto. Yeah, maybe you could get that. $600 million is the number getting thrown out there. Numbers get thrown out, I know. But if it's anything near that, I don't think there's a chance. The other reason is because this is why I don't like that they even mentioned his name. They have all these young outfielders. They have Jaron Duran. They have all these guys sort of coming up through the system. We're all lefties, by the way, just like Soto. And they've made a very big commitment to all of them, right? Like, that's why they wouldn't make any moves. That's what they've been saying for 2 years now, is, hey, you know, we're not gonna sacrifice the future just to have a better present. Isn't that exactly what signing Juan Soto would be? You're sacrificing the future because you're going to be blocking one or more of these young rookies that you've been ballyhooing for 2 years and talking about how great they are. And by the way, baseball agrees with you. They're the number one prospect, number two prospect in the entire minor league. So maybe there's something to that. But either way, you're not going to sign Soto and then block these guys after talking them up for 2 years like this and they're finally ready to play in the majors. Like, don't BS us, Red Sox. Come on. You can BS John Heyman. Don't BS us.
So maybe they're trading some of those guys for pitching.
Doubt it.
Could be the possibility. The other possibility is this has nothing to do with the Boston Red Sox, right?
It's the agent.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes small follow the sniffer, and doesn't this feel like fluffing up the market?
It does.
A little bit. Soto started it. Remember when he said, we'll listen to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody? No, the Yankees don't have an early shot, right? They don't have any advantage. We'll listen to everybody, see what they have available, and we'll make the best decision. Now you have a report that includes the real big market teams, the ones that actually spend, the Mets, mm-hmm. the Dodgers, the Yankees,
right,
and the formerly known as a big market team, Boston Red Sox, including all those bidders. The other takeaway from this is, the Dodgers, really? Can the Dodgers stop signing everybody? Like, this is signed former big market fan. Like,
this is worse than the Yankees used to be.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously it's more money, but the Yankees used to sign everyone.
Right.
And you were looking at the Dodgers like, all right, guys, like, that's a lie. Even George Steinbrenner would be like, Jesus, you spent a lot of money.
But they didn't always win.
Right.
Now the Dodgers won, and they're going to sign the best free agent on the team that they just beat. It's like a little Kevin Durant thing. Well, I can't beat the Dodgers. I'll just go join them.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if their lineup, I mean, you're going to have Mookie, Soto, and Otani in the same lot. Freeman?
And Freeman.
Jiminy Christmas.
I mean, come on.
Just hand them that little metal trophy
thing. That's an outrageous. It's already right now an outrageous lineup. The other teams are the Yankees, the Mets, Dodgers, the Blue Jays. Blue Jays are in the mix. They have a lot of money. The Red Sox and, of
Tampa
course,
Bay.
The Tampa Bay Rays. And I think I read the Giants somewhere. San Francisco Giants are in the mix.
Yep.
They seem like a team that's always kind of floating around there. They're more active, and they do more signings than the Red Sox do, so I'll give them credit there. I won't drop them down to the interest king Red Sox situation because it's not quite like that in San Francisco. They actually do make some moves here for big money elite players. But
how the hell is Tampa going to sign them?
I don't know. They don't
I mean,
spend money
just
on anyone else. Might as well.
Is that like
it.
A go into a new ballpark in 2 years with a shiny new toy kind of thing?
Could be, yeah.
I don't know. Because aren't they looking for like $100 million to put a roof on their stadium?
Yeah.
Or they're not going to be able to? Or
I don't know
what the hell's going on there.
I don't know what's happening with them. I feel like a team that spends that little every year, there's teams like the Dodgers pitching staff is the payroll's higher than the Tampa Bay Rays. I think I read somewhere. Either way, like you save that much money, eventually you're probably looking at your big pile of money in the office and going, yeah, we could get Soto. Like, yeah, sure, let's go ahead and sign him. We could do that, and we'd probably be fine. We haven't spent money in 30 years. Like, we've never spent money on anything. So yeah, maybe that's a new leaf that they're trying to turn over. Either way, I'd say they have about as good a chance as the Red Sox of getting Juan Soto. And I'm annoyed that they're getting thrown back into this because it's just, you know, at this point, I feel like they're nothing more than a leverage play from the agent or just a name to throw in there to drum up interest. And that's really it. And I don't think there's any chance the Red Sox get Juan Soto.
I don't really either because I think they're going to spend. But A, you're right. It's not a perfect fit in any fashion.
Right.
Like, it's a shiny, flashy, great player, but it's not a right-handed power bat. It's not a pitcher. It doesn't fill any of your specific needs, and it's a ridiculous amount of money. It's an over-the-top contract for a team that doesn't seem willing to even sort of play normal contract dollars. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure it's even the best plan to spend $600 million on Soto. Like, we love it from that wow factor sense, mm-hmm. I think. And it would obviously be some indication that they're back to doing business a certain way, or they're at least in the one-off case. But I'm not sure it would actually be the best plan of attack to spend $600 million on just him. As you said, like, the fit isn't really, other than him being a great player, like, we all acknowledge his greatness. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure the fit is all that good.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Coach is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Coach.
Okay, here's my plan. Let's go right up the middle.
Okay.
I'm inserting Kyle Teal at catcher.
Okay.
I'm only spending $100 million on Nathan Eovaldi. My shortstop is Story. Good luck with that. My second baseman is Raisella. My center fielder is Roman Anthony. My DH, who's going to flip-flop between DH and third base with Devers, is none other than 50 home run at Fenway, Pete Alonso.
Okay.
Play my plan. We're winning the ship.
All right, Coach. I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all.
Did he mention pitching?
He didn't mention any pitching, though. But I like the roster there.
It's a on-field. I don't hate it.
Teal at catcher, Roman Anthony in center. I don't know what that puts Jaren Duran. He's got to be somewhere, I guess.
Left.
But, left, right. Yeah. Yeah, do something else. Yeah. Trevor Story at shortstop. Probably going to have to do
that. Well, he did say good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck there. And listen, if Story is healthy, I think he can be okay. But who the hell knows?
Rafaela at second base?
Rafaela at second.
What about Campbell? Where's he going?
I don't know.
Back to the minors? Woosock's mm-hmm. going to be loaded?
I don't know what they're going to do. It's a good question. But
maybe
he
has some trades for pitching in his mind.
Yeah, I didn't hear Cassis there, so we'll see.
Maybe it's a two-part call.
Maybe that's someone who gets... Yeah,
check back
tomorrow.
Tune
in next week as Coach from New Hampshire gives you part two of his plan. 617-779-7937. Tom E. Curran joins the show at 3:30. In the meantime, Drake May, according to some statistics, is one of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Take that, Lamar.
Passing, not so much, but he's running a lot. That dovetails nicely into some comments he made yesterday, which we'll get to next.